I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Well, the new year is almost here, which is very exciting, but there was a lot to be excited about this past year, too. And today, we want to highlight all the good things in the arts in 2012. We want you at home to give it some thought. What did you enjoy in theater, dance, music, or visual arts? Think about that and share that with us during this next hour. You can call us at area code 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can email us at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL Public Radio. First, let's welcome our guest, Cynthia Prost, as president of the Arts and Education Council, Vince Schemel, president of Grand Center, Inc. We welcome you both to the program.
Steve, good to be here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
In general terms, how would each of you assess the state of the arts in St. Louis in this past 12 months? Cindy?
I would say they are strong and flourishing, both from a presentation standpoint, but more importantly from a philanthropic standpoint. I think that this has been a year of great growth for some key organizations in our town, and it really is to the generosity of corporate and individual donors who support the arts.
Is that a surprise at all?
I don't think it's a surprise because I think St. Louis has long demonstrated, from a philanthropic standpoint, a love for their arts and culture. But I think it is a little surprising given the general state of the economy. It was an election year. So from that standpoint, it's a little surprising.
Vince?
Well, I think I concur with Cindy's general view that St. Louis has got a deep history of giving to the arts in general, and specifically this year. I mean, you look at some big things that happened, some big investments like the Art Museum finishing up their more than $100 million expansion, the rebuilding of the library downtown. So there's been some big capital investments that people stepped forward. And what I found interesting there were that there were some very, very major significant gifts from individuals as opposed to just from corporations. And I think you're seeing this shift across the country where more and more giving is coming from individuals and less from corporations. St. Louis has always lagged a little bit in that regard. We've been a little bit more dependent upon corporations. Of course, Cindy's whole organization is built around getting individual gifts. But we've seen individual giving go up at many of the institutions in Grand Center, and I think it's true around the arts community.
But we have a lot of topics we want to touch on during this hour, you know, theater, dance, music, visual arts, and we hope people will call in and communicate with us what some of the highlights as far as they were concerned were. Why don't we begin with venues? And we're a little biased here, but let me just start with the building we're sitting in. St. Louis Public Radio, we contribute to the arts in our own way through programs like this, through Jazz Unlimited, through other programming that we do, our community room where we've had some live events, and the soon-to-be media commons between us and the Nine Network. So that's one significant addition, is it not?
And it's beautiful. This is my first time here, and it's just a beautiful facility. And I know the Arts and Education Council is honoring St. Louis Public Radio as a champion for the arts at our St. Louis Arts Awards in January of 2013. And I think that this building is a testament to why you're receiving that award.
Well, obviously, having you guys located here in Grand Center is a big plus for us and I think for the station. There are so many opportunities to interview people that are doing performances. It's given, I think, the station an opportunity to be closer to the action in the arts and therefore is accentuating the activity that the programmatic component of the arts in your overall program.
Right. It's been very convenient. Some people have just walked over from the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a convenient commute. Let's also talk, Cindy, and this would be, you know, involving you, the Centene Center for Arts and Education, which is around the corner on Olive.
Mm-hmm.
And that was new this past, what, July?
Yes, we've actually been in the building for 7 years as a master lessee. It was originally developed between the Arts and Education Council, Grand Center, and Owen Development. And in July of this year, we had the opportunity to purchase the building, and now we own it outright. And what is so significant about that purchase is, you know, we have 18 nonprofit arts organizations that are tenants in the building, along with the Arts and Education Council. And as a tenant in the building, they can use all of the public space for free, the box office, and then we support them with technological infrastructure and below market rents. So it really was a win-win. It was a win for Grand Center. It was a win for the Arts and Education Council, and certainly for our tenants.
And it's so interesting architecturally. I have not had the privilege of being in it yet, but I've always noticed it driving, and before I knew what it was, driving down Grand, I would just see it, you know, a block or two down on Olive. It just catches your attention.
Yes. I always say it looks like a wedding cake in the front because it's white and it's got all this beautiful architectural detailing. But the exterior would fool you because if you'd walk in, it's just a hubbub of activity, creativity 24/7. A lot of our tenants have performances there. They have workshops on the weekends. So it really serves during the work week as sort of a business office for the arts, but then on the weekend, all kinds of performances and rehearsals go on.
And another major marker, of course, that just occurred like 3 months ago was the opening of the Metropolitan Artists Loft right at the corner of Grand and Olive. The building has been vacant for over 40 years, and it sits right next to the Centene Center for Arts and Education. And it was a serious blight on the whole neighborhood, and especially on Cindy's building. And that has been converted into 72 units of affordable housing for working artists. It filled up and leased out in 6 months, or I'm sorry, 6 weeks. And it's up and running, and part of the first floor is a community room that you see a lot of activity going on in there. It's just a lot more activity taking place. And when the Public Media Commons, which you mentioned earlier, gets built, you're going to see, I think, a visual and sort of multimedia destination that is going to be existing between KWMU and the Nine Network KTC. It's going to be something pretty spectacular.
We mentioned, I think, the St. Louis Art Museum.
Yes.
Oh, another venue that was realized this summer was Stages St. Louis. They purchased the Cole Aum building on Chesterfield Parkway East, which was a former temple, and it's brand new. It's 22,000 square feet, and they're going to use the building for the Stages Performing Arts Academy. And then in the sanctuary, they're going to use that for performance space and to incubate musical theater, different theater productions. And so I'm really excited for Stages St. Louis. It's a big, big purchase for them.
Their Central Library downtown.
Big, big transformation in that facility. I just drove by it last night. Whoever did the lighting on the building did a spectacular job. I haven't been inside yet, but I've seen some of the photography that's come out of there and just some of the secondhand reports that I've got from people that have been in, that it is just spectacular. It was necessary. It was expensive. But the St. Louis community, in typical fashion, as they did with the art museum, stepped up and came up with the money necessary to get it done.
You know, and it's more than probably people think it is if they haven't been there. You think library. Well, it's more than a library. It's a show place, is it not?
It is a show place.
Well, and they have, I mean, they now have an opportunity to do some things with some of the rare collections that they've had to have in storage before. You will see a lot more and hear a lot more about the public library as a result of this investment.
There's the Peabody, which I guess has been open longer than a year, but it's mm-hmm. relatively new on the scene.
Mm-hmm. Relatively
right.
new. Beautiful place to see a concert, musical production.
And they did a great job with the mm-hmm. rehab. I mean, they just did a very nice job of the historic rehab there.
And I think some other, I guess you could call them venues that are springing up regionally, is this whole idea of cultivating the arts from within communities. So embedded arts. And I know A&E, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Greater St. Louis Community Foundation are working with the Kresge Foundation on identifying these neighborhoods that could really benefit from, you know, these collaborations to increase social cohesion within the vitality of neighborhoods. And you see some of that happening already in Pagedale with the Pink House, Cherokee Street, all of the sort of organic arts organizations that are springing up there, and then Old North. So I think that's a trend that you're going to see a lot more of in 2013.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, because we've talked about a lot of the big venues, but there are probably a lot of small ones which we may miss, and I hope maybe our listeners will remind us of. Places like on Cherokee Street, I wonder how many have sprung up in this past year, more than one.
More than one.
And absolutely.
You're seeing this happen, you know, where artists go, where artists live, these vital communities growing up around what they're doing. And so we're pursuing a Kresge Foundation grant to really help us identify, you know, where this is happening and how the arts can contribute economically to these communities.
You know, and Cindy mentioned Kresge, and it's important, I think, for us to recognize that St. Louis and, to some extent, Kansas City and other Midwest cities are sort of flyover country for politics, and we're also flyover country for major national foundations. And the work that they did, the Regional Arts Commission, the Arts and Education Council, and the Community Foundation, to get Kresge interested in St. Louis, you know, these national foundations have a tendency to hunt in packs. And the idea that we now have Kresge's at least attention and doing some serious analysis about embedded arts programming in St. Louis and how arts can transform lifestyles and whole neighborhoods. If we can get Kresge to continue to invest in that, I think you'll see other major national foundations begin to take another look at St. Louis. I think this is an important step for us.
But I would say that, you know, we've been working with Kresge for about 4 years now, and it started at the Arts and Education Council with a sort of a mini-grant program, Kresge Arts in St. Louis, and then the Regional Arts Commission recruited Kresge to pay for some key studies. But once we got the program manager here, and she's been here a lot over the last 4 years, and saw the depth and breadth of what was happening artistically with the big organizations, but then a lot of these community organizations, it wasn't hard to sell. I mean, you know, I think that sometimes as St. Louisans, we just don't realize the wealth of arts and culture that we have here in St. Louis, and the fact that it's so accessible to people. So they're here now, but I think it's St. Louis that's showing them, you know, what's possible.
Well, and, you know, St. Louis, as we begin to think about how we reposition ourselves in this 21st century economy, we have two things that put us in a position of a competitive advantage, if you will. We've got a number of things we're building on, but two things we have. We are completely outsized in terms of quality higher education institutions in this community. Community of our size, 2.8 million in the region, to have the number and quality of higher education institutions is a big asset. The second big one is our arts institutions, our cultural institutions. You know, I can't think of another city that on a per capita basis has the quality of major and small cultural and arts organizations that St. Louis has. And we're beginning to make this transition in the conversation among the art organizations with the business community about what art means and what it can mean to the economy, especially the economy of the 21st century. And I've got some numbers here. Somebody from RAC would be reading these off, I'm sure, if they were here. But the Americans for the Arts every 5 years does sort of a status of how many people are employed in the arts in your community. And what we saw, the arts are a $582 million industry that grew 4% since 2007 in the St. Louis community. Now, there aren't many industries that grew by 4%. The arts comprise more than 10,000 full-time equivalent jobs. that grew 14% in the last 5 years. There are 11.3 million visitors to the arts in St. Louis, and that's more than the Cardinals, the Blues, and the Rams combined. And the bottom line, the punchline is, look, the new economy of the 21st century is going to be centered on education, entertainment, and cultural fulfillment. And we've got a lot of that already in place, and we've got to start doing a better job of mixing that in with our overall destination development marketing for St. Louis.
Well, I'd be interested to know what our audience, how they assess the arts in St. Louis in general and in the last year, whether it's particular performances in theater, dance, visual arts, whether it's venues that we've been talking about. Please call us with your thoughts, 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Email us at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL Public Radio. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sarah Bryan Miller, who is the classical music critic for the Post-Dispatch, and see what her highlights of 2012 are. We'll be right back after this. This is St. Louis Public Radio. This is Cityscape. I'm Steve Potter, and we're talking about what a great year in the arts we had in 2012 and in St. Louis in general, in the arts scene. We're talking with Cindy Prost, president of the Arts and Education Council, and with Vince Schamel, president of Grand Center, Inc. And why don't we welcome now the classical music critic for the Post-Dispatch, Sarah Bryan Miller. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you.
Bryan. Yes.
Bryan. Yeah, that's okay. I answer all kinds of things.
A little slip of the tongue there. Well, tell me about, of course, we read with, in fact, let me just go back. I read Chamber Chorus performed last weekend. We had them on Cityscape a week ago. And I just want to read the first line, two lines of your review in the Post-Dispatch, because I think it sort of makes a statement. And you say, near the end of a stressful season, it's good to take a couple of hours of peaceful time out. Musical contemplation is one of the best ways to do that.
I stand by that statement.
Tell me your thoughts about 2012 in the classical music scene in St. Louis.
I think it was a year of upward trends. I think we have proof of that in the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra making a return to Europe after 14 years without a European tour. First one under David Robertson, very different from the last one, which was actually about the first thing I did as music critic in St. Louis. That one was 20 days and like 17 cities, and it was not all paid for. This one was four cities, 4 days, and the money was all there before anybody got on a plane. It's a new approach, but it's an approach that's working.
We had a lot of fun covering that and hearing from you and reading what you had to say about that, too, because, of course, you went with them.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an easy trip, but they did great things. Very proud to be a part of that.
So what else struck you in the last year then?
Well, we had the annual meeting of the Music Critics Association of North America for the first time since 1997. We had 29 critics here for around opera theaters season, and there was also a series of concerts at the Pulitzer. And I think they came away very impressed. I think that shows you the quality of opera theaters offerings, the quality of the SLSO, and they didn't get to see the smaller groups, unfortunately, because we have a lot of good news here. We have, in June, we have the Missouri Chamber Music Festival. That's Scott Andrews, principal clarinet of the SLSO, and his wife, Nina Frigno, and the Chamber Chorus, which is certainly one of the stars in our musical sky. The St. Louis Classical Guitar Society, which does wonderful things, and there are so many little things going on. I mean, just Pat Partridge, the canon precentor / organist choir master at Christ Church Cathedral, gives an organ recital most Thursdays, a free organ recital. I mean, we have a lot of little things going on. I shouldn't say little things. A lot of smaller scale things going on here, as well as the big events on weekends at Powell Symphony Hall.
Yeah. Sometimes the smaller things can be sort of a surprise and treasure, aren't they?
Yes. Well, I don't know of another group like the Chamber Chorus, for example. All a cappella and doing so many new commissions. It's a very exciting group to review just because you're going to go in there and you're going to hear stuff you've never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually get to see the music in advance, so it's exciting. And it's the same with the Guitar Society. There are so many composers for guitar, and you can't know every single piece. And I'm always surprised and delighted when I go to one of those concerts.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on your list?
Well, we're getting closer to having a classical music station again, which is a good thing. And let's see, there's just a lot of little things, and along with the big stuff, it added up to a really good year.
Hmm. Well, we always look forward to hearing what you have to say about it.
Well, thank you.
Sarah Brian Miller, classical music critic for the Post-Dispatch. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And we're in the studio with Cindy Prost of the Arts and Education Council and Vince Schemel of Grand Center. A lot going on. What about, maybe I should just throw this in, first night, speaking of Grand Center, before we go any farther. And I want to take some calls here in a minute. But that's an exciting thing. And you're teaming with Circus Flora, which is a St. Louis treasure this year.
Right. We've got the Willendas are going to be performing right at Grand in Washington. And we've got, I think, 100, right at 100 artists this year. But one of the big things that I think people are going to find interesting, this is the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, which took effect at midnight on December 31st, 1862. And so here we are 150 years later, and in many African-American churches, there are worship services that take place on New Year's Eve leading up to that midnight celebration. We've partnered with a number of these churches, and we're using the biggest venue that we use in the district, the Scottish Rite Cathedral. They've got about a 3,000-seat theater there, and we're using that to really be a performance venue and a storytelling venue and an educational venue about the Emancipation Proclamation, what it meant, what impact it had on the United States and specifically on Missouri. Missouri was a border state with a lot of different implications for what the Emancipation Proclamation meant here. We've partnered with the Missouri History Museum, and they are providing a series of educational components to this. And this is all made possible through a grant from the Monsanto Foundation. I should mention that. Sure. For people who have an interest in the history of this nation, who want to try to understand some of the continuing racial divide that we have in this community and communities across the country, I think this will be an exceptionally insightful program.
And for the whole night, for all of first night, there's so much performance and interactive events.
65 different events. Yeah.
Inside and outside, fireworks at midnight. Don't forget. My favorite thing is a little thing. Burn your regrets and then make a wish.
Right.
I'm afraid I'll start it like a brush fire with if I burn my regrets, but people should look into that. Why don't we take a call? We've got some people on the phone with some ideas and thoughts of their own. Let's go to Elisa calling from Midtown. You're on Cityscape with Vince Schemel and Cindy Prost. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to give a shout-out to a couple of local things happening on the smaller side this year. One was the St. Louis Fringe Festival, which happened in Midtown, and it's a great theater festival, other models all over the country. But this is a small one, had a lot of spirit, and they're going to be doing it again in June, and they're just awesome. So that's exciting. And the other organization I'd like to shout out to is the Herding Cats Collective. They do a lot of new music and performance art, and it's really a labor of love, and they do really exciting small performances throughout the year. And as a visual artist who's a little bit off the grid as far as the big art scene these days, it's just exciting to see people supporting the arts and really opening their arms wide to people doing all kinds of experimental work.
Yeah, thank you for that.
That's my 2 cents. Thanks a lot.
Well, we like off the
grid.
Thank you. Same to you. We like off the grid, don't we?
Yeah. Well, the Lou Fest was, or Fringe Fest was next on my list of things that I wanted to mention locally. We actually, they didn't have a 501c3 number, so we were their fiscal agent last year, and wrote a couple of grants for them. It was an extraordinary first year for them, and I think the caller is right. This is something that's going to grow and become something pretty significant.
We asked our Facebook followers about the best thing to happen in St. Louis in the arts. Phil said the starting of a four-year production of Wagner's Ring Cycle at Union Avenue Opera.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn says Metro Edge Figure Skating Club's production of Nutcracker on Ice. It showcased amazing local figure skating talent this past year. It's a great family event and fun, accessible version of the holiday classic.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. We have an email from Jean in St. Genevieve, and she says, St. Genevieve marked a major anniversary in October, celebrating the 80th anniversary of the founding of the St. Genevieve Art Colony, which mm-hmm. involved notable St. Louis artists. The contemporary art community also continued to grow with a record membership in the local art guild, monthly art walks and special art events, new gallery spaces, making the town a significant art destination just an hour south of St. Louis. I'm glad we heard that because we're talking about the region, not just St. Louis City. And that points that out. There are things going on in Edwardsville, and Alton has the Jacoby Arts Center, and they're doing a lot of performance things there too. So,
well, and the Belleville Art Festival is another thing that I have written down that I just haven't gotten to yet. In less than a decade, they've turned that into one of the top art fairs in the country. And I mean, it's a spectacular event. What's the woman's name that runs it?
Patty.
I'm drawing a blank, but I've met her a couple of times, and she's just a very enthusiastic. You understand why they've been so successful in such a short period of time.
Well, what's so impressive about it is it's all volunteer staff. They have no paid staff. So
Patty Gregory, I think, is
Patty
the name.
Gregory.
There you are. That's it.
And you know, Arts and Education Council. Obviously, we raise private funds, but then we grant those funds out, and we do. We mirror our 16 county bi-state region, so we're doing a lot of grant making in Southern Illinois, and I will tell you that in the last several years we've seen an impressive uptick in art activity going on in the smaller towns over in Illinois.
Yeah, St. Louis Public Radio did a thing at the Jacoby with Erin Bodie and her group, which was really fun. Well, join us if you'd like to on the phone, 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Ed's been very patient. He's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Ed. You're on Cityscape. Go ahead.
Hello. I was inspired to call because of the earlier comments about the Central Library. I'm 62 years old, and for 16 of those years, I worked at the Missouri Pacific Railroad building that was right across from the Central Library. For a number of years, I had a corner office that looked at that library. Recently, I was in the building there looking at it, and instead of 20 floors of people who were working there, there's 20 floors of people who are living in that area. And I think that's what makes a big difference. You got people who are not hurrying up to take a bus home from there. There's people who live there, and that people who live in an area is going to make that area a great area to be in.
That's a great point, and that speaks to a lot of what's happening downtown.
Yeah, there are 230 apartments there. They were developed by Steve Smith and the Lawrence Group, a group that's been very active in the development in Grand Center and lots of projects in downtown St. Louis. And in fact, the Lawrence Group is going to be taking the old city health department building and converting it to 99 units of apartments. And you can just see the difference on the street down there. You know, 230 apartments, some 2 and 3 bedrooms. I mean, you end up with 300 or 400 people. And now with the St. Louis University Library or Law School going catty corner across the street, you're going to see more and more people there. I mean, Tucker Boulevard is going to come alive with folks over the course of the next 2-3 years.
Bob Wilcox is a theater critic. You may know him from Two on the Isle on HEC-TV or his monthly column in Town and Style. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi.
Well, we should talk a little bit about theater.
Why don't we? Well, it's been an interesting year in theater. Now, I should start off by saying, just because I don't mention somebody in the brief time we have, doesn't mean they weren't doing some great work here, because there was a lot of it going on both in large venues and small ones. And why don't we start with the largest venue we have, which is the Muni, which saw a change at the top this year with Mike Isaacson taking over as executive producer, replacing Paul Blake, the man who saved the Muni, to my way of thinking, back several years ago when he came here. And Mike is taking things in his own direction. I was excited to see a couple of the productions that I think, in a way, he might have been taking a bit of a risk doing Chicago for what some people think of as the Muni audience, because it could be a slightly... risque show, shall we say. I think it was done here many years ago with a sort of a bowdlerized version at one time. But it was tremendously, a very fine production and tremendously successful with the audience, as was another show, Dream Girls, which is a play about a trio of African-American women, a group like the Supremes, and their rise and fall and their problems within the group and all that kind of thing. Again, very successful. Maybe not what one would initially think the typical Muni audience would go for, but they did very well.
Bob, let me jump in. And I had the privilege of interviewing Jennifer Holliday when she was here. And one of the neat things about Dream Girl being here, it could be her last performance of Dream Girl that she does. She said that's possible. So
Yeah, so it was exciting to have her here in it. The other thing that I particularly like, it's the one Andrew Lloyd Webber show that I like, which is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which Lara Teeter, who of course is a professor at Webster University in their Conservatory of Theater Arts and also has done a lot of work on Broadway, he directed it. And it was a fascinating production because he made it very much a St. Louis production with a lot of local references in it, which was great fun. Of course, the other big venue that we see is the Fox with all of their musicals. And simply to mention that three shows that have been here before and I think are going to keep coming back maybe forever, The Lion King and Les Miserables and Wicked, which I believe Wicked is still running.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. All in great shape, you know, coming back and looking very good. And I know Wicked was sold out the opening night when I was there, and I think it has been sold out many nights since. And the other exciting thing they did was bringing in the Blue Man Group, which I'd been hearing about for years and somehow I'd never gotten to. I heard they threw things at the audience, and I was a little worried about going.
Just don't sit up front.
But I survived, all right. Yeah, I didn't get that close, I guess. But, they did have some big like beach balls bouncing around on us, but other than that, I survived all right. So you know, these things keep going, and of course the rep is always, I mean, they opened the year with their wonderful production of Sunday in the Park with George. The Stephen Sondheim musical, and it was just a terrific thing. And they did, as always, I find often their studio shows more interesting than the main stage ones, like The Invisible Hand, a new play about a hostage in a terrorist situation. And then they did this play, Clyburn Park, which has been a big prize-winning play, which is sort of the Raisin in the Sun, the famous play by Lorraine Hansberry about the black family moving to white neighborhood, first showing the white neighborhood at that time, and then 50 years later how it's being regentrified, as it were. Fascinating piece, and interesting that one of the small companies here in town, the Unity Theater Ensemble, did Raisin in the Sun, in the play itself, about that same time.
And I'm thinking, am I thinking right, Bob? The rep did their first Neil Simon ever in this past year.
Yeah, they did their first Neil Simon ever, Brighton Beach Memoirs, yeah. Yeah, that's which, you know, as always, their work is very well done, and that was very fine. Another interesting thing along the line of the Clyburn Park and Raisin in the Sun, one of the community theaters, and some, you know, they often do some fine work. This was especially fine. The Hawthorne Players up in Florissant did a production of August Wilson's play Fences. You know, he wrote a play for each decade, and this was his play for the 50s, and about the man who had been in the Negro Leagues and never made it into the big leagues, and you know, because they didn't break the color barrier in time, and his son is a promising football player, but he won't let him go into it because he figures he'll just be done in the way his father was, who's now just a garbage man, a trash man. But it was Archie Coleman played the lead in it and did a magnificent job in his performance in this. Nancy Cross, who directed, the whole production was really quite fine. And speaking of August Wilson, I might mention also Lanford Wilson, no relation, white writer, not a black writer, but a Missouri native originally. And his play about out in Lebanon, Missouri, is Tally's Folly, which the New Jewish Theater has been doing, and a lovely production. It's one of my favorite plays. Two people. A man and a woman, played by Megan McGuire and Sean Sheely. Deanna Gent directed, and it was just a lovely production.
So we're alive and healthy.
Yeah, well, and you know we mentioned the Muni and the Fox with the big news, but then we have places like Stray Dog Theater and New Line Theater doing some of these exciting newer musicals. Mm-hmm. Stray Dog did another production of Urinetown, the musical, but a very fine one. I thought Jennifer Thebe and the female lead were particularly good in that. I mean, the whole cast was good. They also did Spring Awakening, this musical with rock music based on a late 19th, early 20th century German play about adolescence in a very restrictive society. Very exciting piece. It had been here before at the Fox, but this was the first local production of it. And New Line Theater, which always does adventurous things, did a play called Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson about American history, but a rock musical about Andrew Jackson. So there we are. You know, we also got to see American Idiot, the musical from Green Day, one of the big rock groups these days, which came to the Peabody Opera House. It's such a lovely facility now. So it's delightful to be able to see things there and to do an adventurous piece like that. Quite amazing staging, a whole stage full of video monitors and great drive and excitement to the thing, and same with the choreography in it. So that was good.
Well, Bob, we always enjoy your take on the theater scene. We'll look forward to what you have to say in the next year too.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's theater critic Bob Wilcox. We need to take a break. We're talking about all the great things in the arts in this past year in St. Louis, and we'll continue with Cityscape right after this. This is St. Louis Public Radio. This is Cityscape. I'm Steve Potter. We're talking about all the great things in the arts in the past year with Cindy Prost from the Arts and Education Council and Vince Schamel from Grand Center, Inc. We'll take more of your phone calls in just a moment. But, Cindy, you wanted to follow up on the theater scene.
I did. Upstream Theater this year received a National Theater Company grant from the American Theater Wing, which is the group that produces the Tonys. And this grant recognizes and supports the most promising emerging theater companies in the country. And so I thought that was very noteworthy for Upstream Theater. And also Mustard Seed Theater, their production of Falling by Deanna Gent, went off Broadway in the fall, produced by Terry Schnook.
Right.
So those were two noteworthy, exciting things that happened in the theater.
And just a couple Grand Center Theater items. Hot City Theater has already sold out two performances this year, and the Metro Theater Company moved into the Grand Center District about 6 months ago. And then finally, we can't not mention that this is the 100th anniversary of the Sheldon. And, you know, it's opened as the home of the Ethical Society and then was transformed into this wonderful concert hall and art museum collection, and it's served this entire community very well, and they are celebrating their 100th year now.
And they have a very healthy season. I mean, there's always something going on there.
Something for everybody.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. Mike's calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Mike. You are on Cityscape.
Hi. I just wanted to mention one of the sort of hidden treasures we have in this area in the Ambassadors of Harmony. They are international champions again, and they just finished their five-performance show at the Two Hill. Next year will be their 50th anniversary, and we're looking forward to some really wonderful things out of them. This year they combined with the St. Louis Children's Choir, both at Powell Hall for the Children's Choir show, and then later with the Ambassador show out of the Two Hill. It was absolutely wonderful.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
And we know them from past appearances here on Cityscape. Let's hear from Jim. He has something to say about the Blues Festival. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah, the Blues Festival was great on Memorial Day weekend and just all the events surrounding it. We've got such a vibrant young blues here in town with bands like Jeremiah Johnson Band, Round Bottle Fever, and Rum Drum Ramblers. It's just great to see such a up-and-coming scene there, and the Blues Festival was just highly enjoyable. And then I had a question as well. I was really intrigued, being a music lover. I heard the little tidbit about the classical music station possibly starting up. What's the story on that?
I know they're in the process. I think they've got a studio, and they're working on details.
They're working through their licensing, and I talked to Jim Conant the other night. I think he's predicting maybe 5 to 6 months to finish everything up, but it would be a dedicated station, as KFUO used to be, to classical music.
So stay tuned about that.
Broadcast station?
Yes,
that's correct.
Broadcast station.
Thanks for your call. Let's take a Facebook comment. I live within walking distance of the Muni. I didn't go at all until this past summer. I saw Dreamgirls with Jennifer Holliday and Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I didn't know how much I wanted to see musicals until this summer. I can hardly wait to see what happens next year. We have an email from Kate. Improvised theater is flourishing in St. Louis. It has moved from the bars into places like the Gaslight Theater and the Two Hill. The first annual Compass Improv Festival was a huge success, thanks in part to the venues. There's a growing community of performers who are training in ensemble-based theater who will stop at nothing to make their hometown laugh.
Like
and we have an email from Allison, and it says, as a concert junkie, I love smaller, intimate venues. I've long believed St. Louis has some great spaces for small shows, but continually saw Chicago draw more appealing acts. However, this year marks the first in many that I was thrilled about the concerts St. Louis was able to book. The magnetic fields at the Sheldon was an experience that was unmatched by any concert experience I've had. I look forward to see how Cherokee moves. We thank Allison for that comment. Let's take another phone call right now. We have Diana from St. Louis. I think she has some Muni comments. You're on the air, Diana. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to first mention the Muni, but you had a wonderful discussion about that. I did want to bring out some of our stars that have come out of St. Louis, though, Muni. Ken Page is a treasure, and he's here every year, almost every year at the Muni. I think that he needs a star down on the loop.
Let me just let you know he's going to be my guest on Cityscape next week. So.
Oh, okay. That sounds great. We'll have to tune in. We also have had Amy Brown and Norbert Leo Butz, who started here in St. Louis. So the Muni is... Amy Brown started at the Muni, too. So the Muni has had some really great stars come out of it.
So Vincent Price, for one, I think.
Mike Isaacson, the new executive producer, we just love. We love the old executive producer, but it's wonderful to have these new productions. Right. They were talking about that they were surprised that St. Louis would take to having Chicago and some of those. But, you know, St. Louis does accept change, and it was a very good change. And we're really excited about the shows this year, too, coming up.
Well, thanks for your call. We appreciate your comments so much.
I have one more show to mention.
Okay.
Real quick. Shakespeare in the Park. No one's mentioned that yet. And that is a wonderful, wonderful production every year.
It is. I'm glad you mentioned it. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a good catch. They had their best season ever this year.
A couple things I would like to mention also before we're out of time are the St. Louis Arts Awards. And I think, Cindy, maybe you want to say something about that?
Yes. 2013 is A&E's 50th anniversary of shaping a vibrant arts community for all. And we're kicking it off January 21st at the St. Louis Arts Awards. This will be our 22nd year of the Arts Awards. We are honoring KWMU Champion of the Arts along with Chuck Berry, who's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award, much deserved in the arts.
Michael Utoff,
Dance St. Louis. And, you know, I did want to talk about New Dance Horizons this year, this fall. Michael Utoff created it for Dance St. Louis, four choreographers with four original dances at the Two Hill. It was wonderful. PNC is getting our Corporate Support of the Arts. They announced again a second year of the PNC Arts Alive funding. Over $1 million in grants to arts organizations, which is a significant corporate contribution. Judy and Jerry Kent for Philanthropists of the Year. So tickets are still available. And I think one of the things, we are giving an award to Opera Theater of St. Louis for excellence in the arts, and we're really looking forward to champion their jazz opera in collaboration with Jazz St. Louis.
And Vince, what about the Visionary Awards?
Well, the Visionary Awards, we're going into our 11th year, and we recognize women who have done exceptional things in the arts. And there are several categories, emerging artists, working artists, teachers, and philanthropists in the arts. It's a fun event. It the call for nominations is already out, and they close on January 24th. You can go to the GrandCenter.org website to get information about nominating someone. And so far, we've over the years recognized 59 women who have excelled in the arts. And the event will be Monday, May the 13th, at the Sheldon.
Great. Let's go back to the phone to take a comment from Rudolph calling from St. Louis. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome, Christian.
Thanks for taking my call. Someone mentioned Blues Week, and I just wanted to throw my comment into the mix about a jazz music and swing dance festival that I help organize. It's the Nevermore Jazz Ball and St. Louis Swing Dance Festival. And in the first weekend of November 2012, we had our second annual festival. We had over 300 people from across the nation coming to St. Louis to enjoy local bands. We had over 10 bands up and down Cherokee Street for a Cherokee Street jazz crawl. And we also had a lot of main events throughout the weekend at the Casa Loma Ballroom. So it's a combination of jazz music and dance classes and contests and all that, and that was just a very exciting thing that we were able to bring to St. Louis and to highlight our jazz heritage and dance heritage specifically.
Well, continued success to you. Let's take one final comment from Vincent Crestwood. Hi, you're on the air.
I think one of the hidden treasures of the St. Louis art scene is the theater program at St. Louis University, who for years have been doing very good productions. And it's a real bargain. For $8, you get a really good night of theater, as I did this fall with Radium Girls and Wonder of the World. And another thing I want to mention is how they're educating a new generation of people in the arts at the Grand Center Arts Academy, the new charter school that's in the Grand Center area,
right,
which I think is doing a very good thing for our community.
Thanks so much. And, you know, they bring our last few callers bring a good – it's a good way to close. Although we've mentioned so many things, there are so many that we have not mentioned because, which is a good thing, there's so much out there.
There is so much out there. And I think, you know, on any given day, on any given weekend, you know, for the adventurous or the non-adventurous, you could find something new. And that's when we talk about the depth and breadth of the arts experience in St. Louis, that someone like the Kresge Foundation from out of town has come in and seen firsthand. You know, that's exactly what we mean.
You know, I believe we have to make this conversation the centerpiece of our economic development strategy for St. Louis, if not the, at least one of the. I was meeting with a businessman the other day. They have 250 engineer positions open. They can't fill them. And they're looking to move the whole operation to Chicago because they can't get engineers to move to St. Louis because they're not sure of the lifestyle and the quality of life here. We've got it.
Well, it's been so exciting to talk to you both and to hear from our listeners today. And I felt pretty good about the arts to begin with, but even better now. I'm really looking forward to the new year. Are you not?
Yes. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
We want to thank our guests, Cynthia Prost, President of the Arts and Education Council, and Vince Shamo, President of Grand Center, Inc. And everyone here wishes you both all the best in the new year. And thanks to all the listeners for taking part as well. Thank you again both for being here.
All right. Thank you.
And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. The St. Louis Symphony performs the score to accompany a screening of Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. That's tonight and tomorrow night at 7 and Sunday afternoon at 2 in Powell Hall. Jazz St. Louis presents Good for the Soul in sets at 7:30 and 9:30 tomorrow and Saturday night at Jazz at the Bistro on Washington. The Songs of Africa Ensemble present Kwanzaa Concert Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock at Pilgrim Congregational Church on Union. Grand Center presents First Night in Grand Center 2013, a traveling circus, Monday night from 6 until midnight in various locations in Grand Center. And David Robertson conducts the St. Louis Symphony in a New Year's Eve celebration Monday evening at 7:30 in Powell Hall. If you can't be there in person, don't forget you can hear the concert here on 90.7 FM or online at stlpublicradio.org. The broadcast begins at 7 o'clock. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of stlpublicradio.org. Next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with actor Ken Page about Upstream Theater's production of Café Chanson and about Metro Theater Company's production about Jackie Robinson, Jackie and Me. Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he and his guests will take a look at the people, places, organizations, and ideas for which 2012 was a good year. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and from everyone here, all the best in the new year.